Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today I have a wonderful guest, Manuela, who she is a Scandinavian baker, and she lives in Sweden, and she is world known from her brand, Passion for Baking, and it started less than 10 years ago, which is super encouraging and super inspiring, and she has over 1 million followers to date on her Instagram. And she's a blogger, an author, a lecturer, a photographer, and a home baker, but she's also a mama to five. So you can imagine she is busy. She has a heart of gold. And although we haven't met in person, we already have hit it off through our mutual love for Jesus. And we got connected through my mom, who met Manuela at an event in Orlando, Florida. And when I have to be honest, when I found out that someone with over 1 million followers was following my YouTube and Instagram, I thought, is this even a real person that's engaging with me on social media? And when I found out that Manuela was, in fact, interested in what I was doing, I invited her to be on the show. And I'm so honored and so humbled to have her on the show just to talk about what she loves, her passion for baking, and part of her story that some of her followers may not know. And so I'm so excited to share this, you know, half hour to an hour with this incredible influencer. Manuela, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Lexi. What an intro. Thank you. I'm super excited. I'm happy to get to know you too on social media. I follow you on YouTube. I follow you on Instagram. I encourage everybody to do that. I love your positivity. I love it. I wrote on one of the posts that you are like starting how Oprah started, I think. And I think you're going to go a lot of ways. I think it's going to be amazing. And I'm really excited because one of the things I really, really love is to inspire women. I mean, also men, but especially women, because I know that there are so many women that have been like me, you know, home with kids and maybe feel like they can do nothing, you know, other than, you know, watching the children, changing diaper and all that. That is a daily thing when you are a mom, but everybody has it in it. And I hope that my story can inspire them and, you know, to go after their dreams too.
I love it. And I love your joy that is about you. And that is definitely kind of the resounding theme of when you go to your website, passionforbaking.com, and on Instagram, those are both just incredibly joyful places. The colors that you use, the textures that you use, and who doesn't love looking at pictures of beautiful cakes? I mean, that is just for women. That is just the best thing to just take our mind off of what's going on in life, is just to look at those things. And then you challenge people to actually get in the kitchen and use some of your recipes. And they're all online, anywhere from holiday recipes to Valentine's Day. You even have gluten-free. So I'm gluten-free. I've been gluten-free for 5 years, and I was excited to find out that there was a resource for me as someone who's gluten-free and struggles to really know how to bake with gluten-free. It's a little bit more difficult. So
it's so true. It's so true.
So Manuela, why are you so passionate about baking?
Well, I grew up in a very restricted Christian home. And as a child, we did not have any TV, radio, or we were not allowed to read other books or magazines. So most of the time I was spending in the kitchen with my mom because she always loved to bake. And I always loved watching her cook and bake. And I wasn't really allowed to bake because my mom was more like, you know, it has to be clean in the kitchen, all that. But I was often licking bowls, I can say that. And sifting, I was allowed to sift sometimes, but I always made a mess. But I just always loved baking. And when I was 12, my mom went to Norway because her dad died and I was not allowed to go with her. So I was so sad that I couldn't go with her. And then my dad said, when we come home, you can bake. And I have never baked alone, but the first time I was baking when I was 12. And me and my brother, we were going to bake a cake. And my dad said, so if you're going to, who's going to bake the highest cake, you're going to get a candy bag. And I love candy. So I was just reading in my mom's handwritten book, and I thought that it said like 12 tablespoons baking powder. And so instead of 1.5, and you know, I have like dyslexia, so it went totally wrong. But the cake was super high, tasted terrible. But it really, you know, I won the candy box, and it really just inspired me to bake. I really loved it. I've always loved, you know, everything my mom make, her flavors. She loved vanilla as well and chocolate, and she has her way, Norwegian style of baking that just I got her taste buds. So my baking started there, you know, just seeing my mom, how she bakes, because she only had that as well, you know, in her life, that she could bake. And we didn't have other things, you know, to be occupied with. I didn't have any friends, or I was not allowed to play with children, you know, who had trousers on or had TV. So it was a very lonely life. And so that's why baking was like something that really made me happy.
That's incredible. And so Tell us a little bit more about that. You said a strict Christian home. What did that look like? Mm-hmm. And we know you love baking, but there's a depth to you that comes from some trials. And tell us a little bit more about your story and how that kind of shaped you.
Okay, give me just a minute. As I said, growing up in a really restricted environment has had its challenges. You know, I was not allowed to have any friends or relationship with schoolgirls or anyone that wore trousers or cut their hair or wear makeup. All that was off limits. So, like, for the first time I ever did my, you know, cut my hair or makeup was maybe when I was 16, you know, my parents divorced when I was 16, made me also to leave school and move to a while to the U.S., to Arizona, and then back to my mom in Norway. And this did not allow me to study more. You know, I've never got any study and all that. And I got married very early for all the wrong reasons. And by 19 years old, I had married and I had already a child. But before I was 30, I had all my 5 children, and I was a full-time housewife and mother. And it was just very difficult life. I always have problems talking about, mm-hmm. you know, before, because it's such, like, you go, you know, to memory lane and all that.
Right.
So, but I really feel that everything that happened to me when I was younger, all the trials that has, you know, I have gone through, all the disappointments and all that, it just has really made me stronger. Hmm. I really feel that my name is Manuela, it means God with you. Hmm. And I really feel that that name was special for me, you know, because I know what I've gone through. I know what I've experienced. I know that I, like, in my youth, I've never felt love or like my parents loved me or wanted me, but I always have felt God loved me. Hmm. I've always felt that. So everything, you know, like, it's difficult to talk about things, you know, trials and all that, but I really feel that God has been there for me, you know, like, from the beginning, and has really formed me, you know. And I really feel like with this platform also, like, everything that happened, I've taken it, and in a way, you know, in a way you can thank God for that, mm-hmm. because I can help other people, I can understand other people more, you know, like,
right.
And all that. But, you know, how it has shaped me, you know, it's very difficult, because everything in life, you know, like, if you are grown up in a not loving family, it shapes you, you know, and then how do you get out of there, or how do you get shaped right, you know? For me, I've always have God with me everywhere. I've always had him. I've not always, like, listened to him. That is a big problem, you know, because everybody has this, like, instinct, you know. And I'm telling you a story, because when I got married the first time, it was not that I did not get married because I loved the man. I did get married because I was afraid of my father. So I ran away, and I just, my mom, she always told me, she said, the only way to get rid of your dad bothering you is the day you get married. And that was so stuck in me. And then when I just moved to Norway, my mom, she didn't even want me there. She was like always saying, you know, if you get married, your dad won't bother you and all that. And I just felt so like there was no way out. And I just, you know, married a total stranger. And that person was even worse than my dad. And I remember when I didn't even have a wedding. It was more like you go and you sign papers. And I remember when I was there in front of the judge, you know, he was like, do you want to marry? And I just had this voice inside of me that said, don't do it, Manuela. Don't do it. And I was so afraid. I was like, I don't even want to do that. I don't want to marry this man. I don't know anything about him. But, you know, when you have so low confidence, when you are growing up with scared all the way, all the time scared and no love, no support from your family or your parents, you don't find a way out. Like, even if God say, don't do it, because he gave me that, like, don't do it. And even the judge, he was like, are you okay? Are you sure you want to do this? And I was just thinking about all the options, you know, like, if I don't do it, my dad's going to come after me all the time, you know? And then I just did it. And it was like the worst thing that I ever did, you know. I was like, I felt that I shouldn't have done it. I was like, that time I wished I would just listen to my instinct. I wish I just wouldn't have done that, you know. But I did it, and I know there are so many people that have that. So for me, you know, I went through all that. And when you say, like, you know, how this shaped you, you know, I, with the grace of God, I would say, because the thing is that God is always there. He's always telling you, you know, this whisper or something. He's always saying something. But the thing is that sometimes people don't listen.
Right.
You know, you don't follow it, or you are afraid. And, you know, I wish at the time, at that age, when I was 18, I wish I wasn't afraid. I wish I had all the self-confidence that you seem to have, Lexi, you know, and just, you know, grew up in a family that is, you know, caring, loving, don't call you names and all that stuff that destroy, you know, your inner, your inside. And that's why it's so amazing when I came to Norway, and I've been through a lot of stuff, you know, with all that. But aside of that, I watched Oprah, and I was never allowed to watch TV. So, like, I saw Oprah, and one of her first show was about women and self-confidence, and I was like, did not even know what self-confidence meant. But, and, you know, she was like about, you know, that you are loving, that you are loved. And I was like, yeah, right. And, you know, and it was like all those things I did, you know, that time you didn't have Google. I couldn't Google what that means even, you know. But for me, I just watch her show every day. And I just really loved it because it really, in a way, shaped me. I didn't know. I didn't have a mom that was very supportive or caring or cared about me. And my dad beat me, you know, most of the time. And he was always like, just, I don't know, it was just horrible. The church was horrible. Like, nothing was normal. And then to have Oprah, you know, there and saying all those things. And, like, I don't know, it just really changed me in so many ways. And I just really feel that she has been like a mentor, you know, to me.
It's incredible. And part of your story is that you were able to meet Oprah. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was so amazing because I went to in Atlanta, I think it was in Atlanta, and there was like a conference for women where Oprah was going to talk. And it's so hot in Atlanta. And, you know, when you're in your menopause, you have this like hot flashes going on. So before we go inside, I was standing outside because there was like an event. You could take pictures, you know, with certain people that were there. And I was just, you know, cooling with some water. And then I talked to a woman and I didn't know that she was working for Oprah. So I just gave her my card and I just talked to her. It's like, you know, I was so inspired by Oprah and all that. And And then she come back with a lot of people that work for Oprah. They wanted to know my story and they were so inspired. And then in the evening, I got to meet Oprah Winfrey. It was so amazing because, you know, for me, it's not like the fact that, my God, she's Oprah. But for me, it's more about her as a person.
Right.
Has learned me stuff. And I knew exactly what I wanted to say to her. So I just took her hand and I said, thank you, Oprah, for giving me the tools to survive in life.
Wow.
And that is the only thing that I wanted to say. I've always wanted to say those words to her because I think that, you know, when a person like Oprah, you know, she has been through so a lot herself and how she can encourage women. You never know what person that you can touch, you know, like you never know, like even this interview, maybe somebody else is living at home, you know, and have difficult time. You never know how you just by talking can help somebody else, you know.
Right.
And so for me, it was just like so amazing. And then she was like, Gail, get her card. And then I was in O Magazine. Yeah, I think a year later, was
published. Phenomenal.
Just a little part, but still. And it was just amazing. And yeah, I think it was, you know, I think that God just used her as a tool for me to form and shape me. And the thing is, my husband, he has always told me, because he's like a little Dr. Phil to me, and he has always like told me everything that Oprah anyway is telling. But, you know, when Oprah tells it, it's like, but Oprah said it. But then he's like, yeah, but I've told you that before. Yeah, but now Oprah tells, you know, so this just very special.
That's incredible. I love that story. And I am a big believer in the things that we want out of life, that if we strive for them, we can get them. And so I love that your story of hope, when you cling to hope, it's just inevitable that you're going to face, you know, your dreams are going to be fulfilled by God, because you're clinging to Him, which is the hope of the world. And, as you were talking about self-confidence, that's exactly why I'm doing this, because I want women to stand in, whose they are and who they are, and they belong to God, and they have amazing gifts and talents that belong to God. And I just want women to know that they have an encouragement on the other side when they're feeling down or they've experienced trials, that they can have someone, a voice that is encouraging them and loving them and pushing them towards the things that they feel like God's put on their heart. And it's so incredible to hear your story of having coming from probably a religious group that was claiming to be Christian, but was not acting Christian. And the fact that you still have faith is so powerful, Manuela. Like, it is
so
incredible.
I know, my husband tells me all the time, he is like, if I have lived your life, I would hate God and all that. And I was like, but I've always loved God, because like in everything, you know, even the pain you go through life or things that happen to you through life, I see God's love in there. Because, you know, it's like in the end, when you look back, it's like, oh God, now I understand. Hmm. Now I understand that. Now I understand that, you know, and everything, like everything happened for a reason. Even the difficult time happened for a reason, you know. God has a plan for everything, but you have to see it, you know. Everybody has that in it, you know. But for me, the most important thing is always give God the honor. Mm-hmm. Because God loves a grateful heart, you know. It's like easy to say when people say, oh, you have like a million followers. And I always say it's honor to God. It's not something, you know, that I do. It's honor to God, because He is the one that gives me the possibility, and He is the one that gives me the money, and He's the possibility that gives me a great space to be at. You know, it's like, you know, it's not something that I do, but I get it from God. And I really, truly believe that you have to thank God more, you know, not only pray, but also thank you, God, for that.
Amen.
And all that. And if you do that, God is going to bless you unbelievable much.
It's so true. And I was just listening to a sermon yesterday that was talking about trials and how we face them, and how it is, it's what sharpens our faith to be honest, because when things are going good, we get it in our head that we have created these things on our own, and the successes that we have are our own. And so when we've come from a humble place, like you have, you're able to see, okay, I didn't get here on my own. It wasn't in my own strength. And it was when I was feeling the loneliest that God picked me up and put me in his arms. And that is just such an incredible story of hope, in how anyone has the excuse to be able to say, oh, I've been through hard things, so I'm not going to show up to life. I'm not going to show up to motherhood. I'm not going to show up to my job. I'm just going to kind of be a walking dead person. But it's your part to play. God will be there to restore and resurrect what was broken. But the beauty of it is that it's our choice that we either can dwell in the horrific stories that have happened to us, and that would be understandable. If you never lifted your head back up after what you've been through, that would be completely understandable. But the fact that you are able to, through the strength of God, is just so encouraging and so inspiring. And I hope anyone listening to this that's gone through a trial of abuse or addiction, or if they've faced unhealthy relationships, whatever the case may be, whatever your trial is, I just pray that you would hear this and know that God loves you. He is with you, and he has something in store for you. So I would love to just learn a little bit more about some of the things that have been, the exciting stuff that is glory to God. For instance, you get to travel all over the world because of what he's given you. So for me, hospitality kind of marks what I love about a country and a community.
Yeah.
And so who have been the people groups when you've traveled that have been the most hospitable and welcoming, and that you've loved visiting the most?
It's a very difficult question to answer. I do travel a lot, and I feel like I've been welcome everywhere I traveled. Everybody is, kind, friendly. And it's difficult to know, if it is because who I am or that they are generally good for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite places to visit is Nashville. I love Nashville. Oh. I love Nashville. It's just such a happy place to visit. And I'm also a lot of times in Dubai. I work a lot of times in Dubai over there, and the people there are super friendly, very welcoming. But then my favorite place to be, even though I travel, is at home with my husband. I just love it.
I love that.
That is like, I don't know, there is no better place for me than to just come home and be with my husband and my children. That is like, I always tell him whenever I go, like, I can't wait to be back home with you, just my favorite place.
That's incredible. I feel the same way. And that is truly a blessing to be able to say that. Because so many people do not have that. And it's incredible that you have a marriage that is so so beautiful and so such a champion, of what you're doing. And so, Nashville is only 2 hours from me. So next time you're in Nashville, then we'll have to make a road trip out of it.
I would love that. I have my office, and USA-based office is in Nashville.
Small world. Yeah, it's very close. It's very close to where I live.
Nice. I hope I meet you one day, Lexi.
Yes, we definitely will. I believe it. You have over 1 million Instagram followers. What has that been like? I know you're super humble about it, but how do you balance social media and engaging with people that are in front of you and building relationships outside of, I think there's fans and there's followers, but then there's friends, and how do you kind of discern who is in it for the relationship versus who is in it because you're a star?
It has been very surreal and difficult to comprehend it, for a very long time to have so many followers. But it's more like, I think when people follow a person, it's like when I follow Oprah, she has an impact on me and an impression over my life. And she have million followers, herself. And I just, it's very, I'm very engaged in people. I run my social media myself. I run my blog myself. I run my YouTube myself. I have nobody doing anything for me. So everything, you know, when I interact with people, it's me writing or talking. And I'm so happy that you're now able to, you know, record a message, because having dyslexia and trying to explain, you know, to people the answer, because I do reply to everybody. Is, you know, it can be overwhelming, but for me, like, this is a place where I can hopefully inspire people, you know, and I like it to be in a happy place. And it's difficult to balance social media, you know, of course, with people that are in front of you. But I've really felt for 2019, just before 2019, I deleted a lot of accounts I follow, because I wanted to have in my feed, I wanted to have things that inspires me. I wanted to follow people that are real. And I'm not saying that a lot of people are not real, but a lot of accounts that you follow are more about showing I don't know how you can say that, but showing something, but, you know, in a way it's not real, you know, and just give you such a bad feeling in my mouth. Like, you know, I just love following people that are real. I love following accounts that are like, you know, real, and you get something positive, you know, like a word or an encouragement. And I just really am very carefully who I follow, because the people I follow, you know, when you look at their accounts, I want to get inspired. So for me, I just, you know, I do my job, I post and I try to answer people, you know, and with respect, because of course they also, you know, take their time to tell me something nice. I want to tell them something back as well, but I am not on social media all the time. I try to, you know, I like to spend time with my family, my husband. It's the most important thing. And
that's awesome. I love that you have filtered what you are, receiving, and what are you putting into your mind? Because so often, we can use social media, can be a place of comparison, and it can be a place of saying, oh, she's got a better job than I have, and she has more followers, and she's bouncing back after pregnancy better than I did. You know, like, there's just things that we, as women, we are, our sin nature is to compare and to worry that we're not enough because someone else is better than us. So I,
and that is, that is, if I can say something about that, it's so sad, because the thing is that people always think like, oh, I can't write a comment on there because then she will get more followers than me. Or I can say that was a great cake or whatever great thing that I'm seeing, because then people will follow her and not me. But I really feel that everything that happened is meant to be. God put you there for a reason. If that person got more likes than you or more followers than you, then God has a plan for that. But that doesn't take away the plan that God has for you, for your life, you know? And if you are more aware of that everything happened for a reason, you know, it's just give it time. I mean, I don't post things for likes, you know, I'm 50. I hope not ever do that. It's not about, you know, likes or follows or what, like, you know, I hope my platform, I can inspire people, not only for baking, but also that people know, especially women, how valuable they are, because the things that I've gone through in my youth and how much pain I have had and how many mistakes I made to have finally come to a place and look back like, unbelievable, like, how was I bothered with that? There was nothing wrong I did, you know? It was things people put in your head. Like, and I'm just, for me, it's just social media and all that. I don't know. I just follow the right people, because all the information you get is important, that it is, for me at least, is positive. I don't love following accounts that doesn't give the positive thing, because it's like, I love listening to Oprah. I remember I told all my friends all the time, I talk about Oprah, Oprah this, Oprah that, and they were like so tired of Oprah. I was like, you don't know how much that words mean. I've never learned learn anything. You know, I remember when I was, because we haven't talked about this, Lexi, I was 30 when I watched the Oprah show, and my husband, he always had three jobs. He came home late. I had to put the children to bed. And my time was to watch Oprah that they recorded during the day. Hmm. And I was 30 and she had a show about passion. And here I am. I have like no education in school, never been to school because, you know, I ran away when I was only 17 years old. I had no way to finish my school. I had a difficult time. I had never studied anything. I felt stupid. I felt I don't know anything. And then, you know, when I was watching Oprah, I was just like so like into her, what she was saying. And she had this show talking about passion. And I was 30. I had all my children, 5 children, and I had no clue what in the world passion meant. I was like, you know, at that time also you didn't Google. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how passion, what is that? My husband came home. Always when he came home, we talk about Oprah because I always wanted to tell him what Oprah said. and he was super patient. And I said, Oprah talked today about passion. Like, what in the world is passion? What does that mean? I don't know, have no clue what I've heard about passion fruit. No passion. What is that? And I felt so stupid. You know, I just was the first time I watched her show and I felt like stupid, not understanding. And all the women on the show was like, they did something smart. And I felt so dumb in a way, you know. And my husband come home and he said, but you are such an amazing wife and mom, and you bake and you cook food and you're amazing. And I was like, well, all the women do that, don't they? I mean, I thought all the women do that for their family, no clue. But when I was 42 and I started my blog, first of all, my husband got a stroke. And when he got a stroke, our life totally fell apart. Oprah started, finished her show. She said her last, you know, show was a love letter to you. And I was so sad about that. And then my whole life, like my husband got a stroke. I had no clue what to do without him because he was like the one that does everything, you know, when it comes to economy and money and house bills. I have no clue how to do all that. And all of a sudden he was sick. I don't know if he was going to live or he's going to die. And then on top of that, we became in debt. I wrote on a paper something for a business that I shouldn't have written on. And I got the debt on me, even though I've never been in that company. And I was like, you know, I didn't know what to do. I was eating potato chips and I was just thought that that would help at that time. Didn't know what to do with my feelings and all that. And I remember I was like snapping out of it. I was like, I cannot continue with this. You know, I have to do something. I have to just snap back or something. This is how it's going to be. So I have to do something. And I just started baking more than I usually did, you know, for my children. I wanted when they came home from school that it was a happy place, not everything about illness, not everything about, you know, terrible things happening. I want them to be happy. So I started baking. I had just got a phone. And I posted that on my Facebook that it just started to get as well. And then people said, I think you should start a blog. And I had no clue what a blog was. And I was like, I said to my husband, you know, somebody said to me that I think you should start a blog. And I like, if somebody tells me that, like I, even that, you know, when I started at 42, I had self-confidence more than I had from when I was younger. But it's still, it was for me, it was like, wow, somebody tells me that I should start a blog. I just thought that was the most amazing thing. And even though I had no clue what that was. So my husband said, come and sit down on the couch. And we Google blog. And up come this blog, you know, with women that are, you know, maybe showing clothes off or makeup. And I was like, this look exhausting, you know. But then I said, well, maybe I should do a blog about baking. And then he said, my husband said, but you need to have a good name. And then I remembered the show with Oprah about passion that I didn't understand, like what is passion? Mm-hmm. And then I just said, how about passion for baking? And then I just, he Googled it and it was available. We bought the domain and I just started, you know, blogging. And it's of course very difficult to blog because I have dyslexia. You know, I write Norwegian, but it takes a long time for me to write Norwegian because I didn't grow up in Norway, you know, and English is better. But I started there and it is very, you know, difficult to start a blog or, you know, when you have a husband that's sick and you don't have any money and you have no formal education or experience or nothing. But I really felt that me watching that show when I was 30 with Oprah, you know, about passion, and me choosing that name, Passion for Baking, and me starting the blog, it was all in God's plan. You know, it was all like, it was his plan that I watched that show and I didn't know clue what that was. Because when at 30, it wouldn't be in the right time. You know, there was no internet, right, as I think. But I mean, it wasn't the right time. You know, for me, the right time that I started this was when I was 42. When I was on my lowest in a way, you know, because my husband had a stroke. We lost our company. I signed papers I shouldn't have signed and I got into debt. And it was just such a difficult time. And then to do all that. And at night, I cried. I cried always. I thought it was so difficult. I had pain in my stomach. I was like, God, how in the world am I going to pay that debt? How, you know? And I just, I don't know. I just, God helped me through that. He just helped me with the blog. I don't know. After a year, I was now Norway's most beloved blogger. I got an award. I got a book deal. I have my first book with the dyslexia and all that, and people bought it, and it was like a bestseller in Norway, and it was just so amazing, and it just, everything just kept happening. And even, you know, a TV show here in Sweden with baking, and I remember, like, in the evening I go to bed and I just cry and I cry and I just say, thank you, God. And I always have this conversation with God at night. I don't know. I just love laying in bed a little bit before my husband come, and I just have this conversation, and I just told him, God, like, please, like, if you help me out of debt, if you help me, I didn't ask make me rich. I just said, if you help me get out of debt, I will tell everybody. I will give you the honor. And that day that I got out of debt, I was like, I cried. I don't know how that feel, but it just happened through miracles, another miracle. God sending his angels to just giving miracle on miracle. And I said to God, I am going to give you the honor. And that's when I went to Atlanta on Mother's Day and speak. I think there were around 5,000 people that day, divided in three meetings. And standing there on there, you know, and telling my story and giving God the honor, how he helped me get out of debt, is by far the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me. It was like just how I visualize, you know, because Oprah, she asked one thing, where do you see yourself a year from now? And I wrote on a piece of paper, I see myself standing in front of a big crowd telling my story and giving God the honor. And you know, that is exactly what happened. It was such a big crowd, and it was just like finally telling my story, because I never told anybody that while I was blogging or while I was meeting even your parents in Florida, you know, that I had such difficult things happening in my life as well. Because not that I didn't want to tell people, but I always wanted to keep it positive. And I always made God a promise, like, I'm going to tell when it is the time you tell me to tell.
Right.
You know, when you go on television, they tell you, do you have anything that you can tell so that it gives more like wow factor in newspapers and all that? And, you know, I could have told, but it wasn't the right time. Right. I just didn't want to tell. I didn't want this to be the headlines. I wanted to have a platform where I can inspire people, where I can tell my story, you know. And it was just such an amazing feeling just to tell. And, you know, God has worked with me in so many ways. I would tell you one thing, because I know you are a YouTuber, and I am on YouTube as well. And I had a video for a Swedish princess cake. It has like 10 million followers, 10 million views on it. And I remember when it started to go viral, it was like about, I think it had, you know, 10,000 views on it. And all of a sudden, a lot of comments come, and I answer everybody. And I was getting so many comments, and I was like, what is this? And I was sitting at home, and my husband was sitting beside me. And I said, honey, I think this video is going viral. And I had no clue what viral means. I did not even understand this. Never happened to me. And then all of a sudden, Friday evening, 200,000 views. And I was like looking at my husband. I said, you know what? God is going to make this video 1 million on Monday morning. And I just said that. And he said to me, well, let's not, you know, go too far. Let's say half a million. And I said, no, it's going to be 1 million on Monday morning. The first thing when I wake up and I take my phone is going to say 1 million, not 1 million, 100, not 999. It's going to say 1 million. And I just like it just keep going. And on Saturday evening late, it was like 500,000 views on that video. And I was just thanking God. And I was telling God, because my husband, you know, he believes in God and all that. But I just wanted to God to show him, like, show him that you can make that happen, you know? And then I said, you know, God, just let it on Monday morning. I want you to have that done, exactly 1 million. I have a toilet in my bedroom, in my sleeping room. So I go to the toilet and I take my phone with me. I know everybody does that, Lexi. And I'm sitting there and I look and it says 1 million. It says 1 million exactly, Lexi. And I do open the door of my bedroom and my husband was still sleeping and I knock open the door and I said, honey, I told you God will fix that. And I said, the only thing I feel bad that I didn't ask for 10 million. and then, you know, I told God that I would give him the honor. So I posted this on my Facebook and then somebody from the newspaper in Norway, they, you know, print screen my thing on Facebook and then they interview me and I got to tell the story, you know, I gave God the honor and all that. And now it's 10 million, you know? So, and I really believe that, you know, God, everything you say is so important. You have to believe, but you also have to say, you know, it's like, and it's something like, you should not be afraid to say that because people are afraid like, oh, I want to be debt free or I want to do a show like you, Lexi. I think you are the new Oprah, you know, you should say that, you know, no, you're going to be better than Oprah. You're going to have reach even more people and not be afraid to say that because like God have that in you, you know, like when I was in front of the judge and was getting married to somebody that I didn't want to marry. And I had this like instinct that says, don't do it. And I didn't follow that. And that is something that I kept with me because it was so wrong in so many ways. And I just felt like, you know, God said it to me and I didn't listen. And I'm never more afraid to say, you know, like, because I know God has my back. And it's like, one time I was like an interview, there was a lady, she called me before I had my TV show. She said, Manuela, you are like the Scandinavian queen of baking, like a Nigella Lawson. And I was like, oh, well, she couldn't see me, but I was like laughing like, oh my God, did she just say that? You know, and she said, I want you to come for an interview to Oslo. So I went to that interview and we just did the baking show and she liked it. And then she wanted to sit down with me and she wanted to talk to me. And she said, Manuela, you have a blog and you have a baking book, but where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I just out of the blue, I said, my name is going to be known worldwide. You know, my brand name, Love Manuela, is going to be known. And I see my brand, you know, having cake mixes and all that, everything just, yeah, have my own name on stuff and all that. And it was just not even 3 weeks. And there was a big company in Norway that called me and said, we want to do cake mixes with your name on it, you know?
Wow.
I really feel like it's just like God, everything, he does everything. You know,
Absolutely.
He does everything. The most important thing is say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, that's the most, not always just ask for a thing, but also have a grateful heart. And I just, God put everything in you, you know, like, Lexi, even that we meet through this, you know,
absolutely.
Like the little time that I saw your parents, you know, they opened their house for bloggers and I was there telling my story and, you know, and then I added them on Facebook or we added, I don't know who added who, but anyway, I love having your parents on Facebook and, you know, and then seeing you and I know that you work with Mission or it is your sister. I, one of, I think yeah, and it's just like something that is also so close to my heart, you know, and it's just all that is like a reason, you know, that is a reason. And if you see what good God does in all those small things, life is pretty amazing. And, you know, you have like ups and you have downs. But when the thing is, when you are down, there's only one way up, you know, there is no way you can go more down. There's only one way up. And that is always just rise up. And for me, it's like my best friend is God. Like there is no, I always tell my husband, I love you, you're my best friend, but God first, God first. And if you put him first, then, you know, you have the world. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I'm a big believer in self-fulfilling prophecy, which just means when we speak it out loud, it will happen. And I think that that's a big part of your story, is that you spoke things out loud and you believed and you saw fruition because of that. And I am just so inspired by that. And I'm so encouraged by the way that you have such a following, yet you give all the glory to God. And I've tried to start that from a very small influence standpoint. I mean, I have about 1,000 followers, and I always say, like, this is not in my own strength. This is me believing in the power of God and the power of his message, because there is good news. And we live in a world that is full of terrible news, and it's full of darkness and depression and sadness and people that are hurting. And so we are longing for, our souls are longing for a hope that is greater than this earth has to offer. And so I am so thankful for your message, for your story, and for your joy, because I think that it's going to continue to make a mark. And I love that you spoke that over me, because I do believe that God has called me to be an influencer, and I've slowly tried to figure out what that means. And as you were, you know, several years ago, trying to figure out, what does it look like? That's the stage I'm in. And it's so exciting to be on this journey, trying to figure out what it is that he has for me and what he has for you. And I'm so thankful that our paths have crossed, because it's such a beautiful story when two people that, you know, technology is amazing, two people that live on other parts of the world can become friends. And also, I love generational relationships. You have kids that are my age, and I love that we can be friends. I really value, and I often tell young women, is have a mentor and be a mentor. Have someone that's pouring into you. Have people that believe in you. And hopefully you have friends, you have your husband, but hopefully you have older women that can also pour into you. So do you have that one woman that, other than Oprah, we know you love her, but is there someone that you do life with that that you see often, or maybe semi often, that pours into you?
I do. I really, for me, my focus is my family, like my husband, like my children. Those are the ones that I am with all the time if I'm not working. And I do have friends. I have a very good friend that I can talk to every morning. We every morning when I go to work, I get a coffee and I'm talk with her. And it's really, really good, because she knows me, and I could just really talk to her about everything, and that thing is great. But my best friend beside Jesus is my husband. And I know he's not a woman and all that, but he is just such a good listener. And he's, like I said, my little Dr. Phil. He has, when we met and I was so broken, because, you know, like, say you come from a very normal family, loving family and all that. But, you know, when you come from a broken home and you basically have no confidence, you have nothing, and you just feel like, you know, the worst, you know, all the worst somebody tells you, you believe them and all that. It takes time to get up, you know, it takes time to really believe in yourself. And my husband is being somebody that I can talk to about everything. I can tell him that my craziest thoughts, he would never, ever say something. He can just I've always just loved talking to him. And when we met, I just always, when I talked to him, especially about my past, I just always cried and cried. And we had just really this bond, you know, that he just, I really feel that God sent him to heal me. You know, it's just because, especially when you come from an abuse home also, you know, you are very scarred. And it takes a lot of time. It's not like, okay, you get married and all of a sudden you are Mrs. Perfect or doing everything right, you know. It's just, it's there. It's painful. It's, you go through a lot of hurt and you think that everybody is a monster in a way, you know. And it takes time to, for me to trust anybody. Yes. And special to trust my husband. Is he like, is he just nice or is he just like, is he luring something in the back, you know? And I just, he has just been my very best friend, something I really, you know, feel God has given me. And me and him, we talk every day. Our best days, like, are the days that we are talking. You know, for me, talking is so important. If you have a friend you can talk to, or you have a husband, but you need somebody that you can talk to, you know, for advice. And for me, it's been always been, you know, listening to Oprah for advice and, you know, have girlfriends that you can listen to for advice, and especially my husband, because I know he loved me. You know, I think he loves me as much as God loves me. I'm pretty sure of it, you know, and it's just, I really trust him, because you also have to be careful in this world, you know, who you talk to, you know, who is your mentor. You have to be careful, like, even, you know, people that you follow, you know, you have to be careful. You always have to follow your instinct, you know. You have to know, like, if this is the right thing or not, you know. You have to listen to yourself as well, you know. And I just, for me, I'm just so, you know, take time who I follow, like what I, myself, what I see in my feed, and don't use too much time also on social media, because, you know, you don't want to forget your life you have as well, you know, and your family. And I see a lot of people that are in social media, they are working so much, and it's like live video and that, and, you know, Insta stories and all that. And I know how much work that is, you know, especially if you are doing, you know, baking, or even if you're doing makeup. I don't know, people that, you know, do things about makeup and all that, you know. And you have to also not forget your life, because the sad thing, you know, with social media and all that, you see that a lot when you go to coffee shop, you know, people go out for dinner and everybody's on their phone, like nobody put the phone away and all that. And I feel so saddened about that, because, you know, you children, they grow up with parents that stroll their baby, you know, the stroller, and they are on the phone talking, you know, or they are always busy, you know, with social media. So it's important that, you know, for me, my best friend is Jesus. My best friend is my husband after that. And then, of course, I have best friends also besides that. I have a friend I talk to every day. But yeah. That's about it.
That's phenomenal. I love it. I just love your joy so much. And I'm so grateful to have you on the show and for you to share your story. And if anyone is in need of a recipe, just go to passionforbaking.com or on Instagram, Passion for Baking. And she has everything from, as I mentioned, gluten-free to holiday specific to pancakes and waffles. And her heart, as you've heard, is to see people find a love for baking like she has. And believe me, if you follow her, it will bring you joy, because her feed and her
And it her will stories, get you fluffy.
It will get you fluffy. I love that. Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing.
But the great thing is, when you're fluffy, when you are my age, it's, you know, smooth out your wrinkles. So that's a positive thing, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you, Manuela, for being on the show. It's been such an honor and a privilege to get to know you. And I can't wait for the one day, I'm going to speak it out loud, the one day where we get to meet in person and just so give each other the biggest hugs. So.
Thank you, Lexi. It was super nice, you know, and I really hope that everybody that has been listening, you know, to follow their heart, you know, and yeah, I would say believe in yourself and try to find your passion. You know, you don't have to wait till you're 42 and work hard. And I think that everybody has a story, but sometimes you have to put a story behind you and just more look forward, you know, because God has a plan for your life as well as it has for my life. And I just, all the moms out there that has, you know, children at home and sometimes maybe don't feel they have anything, you know, in their life, because I've been there and know that, you know, you never know, maybe the son you are, you know, watching every day is going to be the president of the United States one day. I don't know. God has a plan for everything. You know, you don't see it always, but there's always a plan. And I hope just that all the women out there know that you are precious and loved, and just, you know, follow Lexi if you don't already, and always, you know, just go, you know, follow people that are positive, that's going to lift you up. You know, you don't want to go on social media and just, you know, get negative things in your feed. Just positive thing. It's just, you need, people need positivity in their life. And that is something that I surround myself with. And that is something that I just love in my life. And that is something that we really need in this age of social media. You know, follow real people, follow real lives. And, you know, people should also open more. I open myself because I want to people to know that if I at 42 started my blog and all that, and I'm 50 now and I'm going on 51. So if I can do that, you can do that as well.
That's phenomenal. And to piggyback on that, ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a set of gifts, skills, and talents given to you by God for His purpose and His glory. So go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl.
So much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.